I will be preaching from the lesson from the Hebrews. And so we're going to turn then to chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. Let me grab my glasses so I can see this. This is actually in the lectionary, the fourth week we've been in Hebrews. Now, I've been preaching from the Gospel of Luke, and of course, you just heard the lesson from the Gospel of Luke. But if you might remember that we've had in the first reading some of these lessons from Hebrews. But this comes from the last chapter in Hebrews, and it kind of summarizes the important message that the writer to the book of Hebrews was trying to get across. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit and your word. Lord, we do thank you for this word, and we do thank you for these instructions, these very practical ways that we live out our Christian lives. Lord, help us to do those things, to draw closer to you and to each other. In Christ's name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in our brief meditation before communion, I'm going to do a little teaching on these what seem to be very practical suggestions from the writer of the book of Hebrews. Some of you teachers and educators, some of you administrative people from our schools might know the name Terry Younger. Anybody know the name? Any of you teachers know the name Terry Younger? Okay. Terry Younger is now retired. But Terry Younger came, and he'd been a principal throughout the schools for a long time. But he first started his career in education when he came to Harper Elementary School, where I was. I think in about 1969 or 1970, he was the gym and health teacher. And Terry Younger was this just chiseled guy, this all-American boy. I mean, he was awesome, and we practically worshipped him like a god. He had this perfect elocution. He was very serious, but at the same time, he had a great laugh. We just liked him a lot, and many of you probably have the same experience. Through all your education, there are probably, you know, you can number them on one hand, those teachers that really had that profound impact. Terry Younger came to my father's funeral. He came to my mother's funeral. Terry Younger just didn't know me and my brothers. He knew our family. That's the kind of a guy he was. Well, one day, you know, I think as I remember, start thinking about this, I think we did gym one day and then we did health the next day, right? Is that kind of the way it works? So this was a health day. And back then, maybe it's different now, the boys had gym and the girls had gym and they had it separately. Okay, so we're in health class with Mr. Younger, and Mr. Younger gets more serious than he's usually serious. And he goes, boys, and he walks to the door and he opens it. He looks down the hallway. He closes it. He goes, boys, today we're going to talk about S-E-X. And his face just went red.
we're like, bring it on. That's what we were waiting for.
Now, today, we're not going to talk about, and by the way, he did spell it out. But today, we're not going to talk about SEX, because in this very practical instruction from the writer of the book of Hebrews, that's not an marriage fidelity is not an arguable point, right? So we'll just let that be. But we do today, I wanted to use this as kind of a teaching moment, because these are some very practical things. It's kind of a checklist on, are we really living the Christian life? How does the Christian life look in a very practical way? And the writer of the book of Hebrews, and by the way, this is a sermon. This isn't a letter. We thought for a long time this was a letter from Paul. We now know it's not. It wasn't from Paul. It's from someone else, and it's not a letter. It's a sermon, all right? And in this sermon, in the chapters that precede where we are today, he uses language that just soars. It's theological. It's philosophical. It's about who Jesus is for us. He is the great high priest for us. And then in chapter 13, he comes down to some very practical matters. And he says this. He says, let mutual love continue. Let mutual love continue. Here's what was happening at the time of the writing. Christianity was new. The church was persecuted. There were false teachers who were coming in. Can you imagine how hard it is even for us today to stay unified as a Christian body worldwide? But in the beginning, they had the same struggles. And so you got these teachers who were teaching things that weren't consistent with what the apostles taught. And so people were beginning to drift away. The community that was the church there, it was beginning to disintegrate. And so the writer, the preacher says, no matter what happens, no matter how you might disagree with one another, let mutual love continue. Let's keep it together, people. We can disagree about things, but let's keep the community together, because it's in the community where the strength is in the body of Christ. He goes on to preach and says, be hospitable to strangers. Why? Because you never know. If you entertain a stranger, you might be entertaining an angel. I love the slide that we had up there before. It said that be hospitable to strangers because they might be angels. And I'll go this far and to say we are all angels. All of us are angels in disguise. If we look at the creation story, in the creation story, God, when he creates humankind, he looks and says, that is very good. We have created humanity in our image. God has a very high opinion of us because he created us just like him in his image. And then the psalmist says, God created us just a little lower than the gods or the angels. And so when we entertain strangers, we are entertaining angels. And this is the way I put it, in a very practical way. No matter who it is that you are engaging with, someone who on the exterior may be, you know, offensive to you, or someone who you think is not such a great person, what we always have to remember is anytime we're looking into the eyes of anyone, no matter who they are, deep within them is a child of God. Someone who is angel-like in their original makeup. And just like we have a lot of stuff that's built up and a lot of junk that comes between our original image and our angelic original nature, so do they. And so the preacher in Hebrews says, be hospitable to everyone. They're angels. They're angels if we'll just take the time to see that. He goes on to preach and says, be empathetic to the prisoners. Treat them as if you were in prison with them. Now that is empathy. That is empathy. Now in that day, we were talking about people who are in prison because of their faith, right? These aren't criminals in the sense that we use the word today. These people were imprisoned by what they believe, and so we can't make that direct application. No one's getting imprisoned today because of their faith. But we can still be empathetic to people who are in prison. I'm a person of words. My brother Gary is a person of words. He works at Alcoa, but he is a voracious reader. and he works crossword puzzles like nobody's business. My mom loved Wheel of Fortune, and we would watch Wheel of Fortune with her, and Gary would solve those puzzles, you know, just immediately. He's a man of words, loves words and loves the book. And we got into an argument one time about the definition of sympathy and the definition of empathy. And there is a difference. And sympathy is like, okay, I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through. But empathy is saying, oh, what you're going through, I've been through that. Or I'm going through it right now, and I'm going to walk right alongside you. That's what being empathetic is. And the preacher here in the book of Hebrews is saying, be empathetic to those in prison. I think about the Warren County Jail every time I pass by there, and it's easy to dismiss those people. It's easy to dismiss them. They're not prisoners because of their faith. They violated the laws. But can we empathize with the fact that maybe they are imprisoned by poverty? Maybe they are victims of injustice. They don't have access to the legal system in the same way that somebody with means has access to the legal system. Maybe they are impoverished by an addiction. We have an opioid crisis, which is awful right now. We used to think these were just junkies, right? These are druggies. No, in many cases, these are people who have a legitimate reason to take a painkiller, and they end up getting addicted to it, and they end up breaking the law, and they end up in our jails and in our prisons. And the writer to the Hebrews would say, be empathetic to the prisoners. Be empathetic. He goes on to preach, and he's laying it on, right? He says, be free from the love of money. Be free from the love of money and be content. I don't know what it is about human nature, but no matter where we are, we feel like it's never enough. If we are earning the nationwide average of family income, that's not enough. If we're someone who's making 50% more than that, that's not enough. We want more. If we're making 100% more than that, that's not enough. Something about us, we want more. We don't think there's ever going to be enough. We think it's going to run out. We're never really content with what we have. We always think, maybe if I get that promotion, then I'll be content, then I'll be happy. Maybe if I hit the lottery, maybe then I'll be happy and I can be content. But the writer of Hebrews, the person who preached this sermon, says, no, you won't. No, you won't. You won't be content until you realize that if you have enough now, if you have enough of the world's goods, if you are able to put a roof over your house and feed your family, and you have transportation and you can get where you need to go to do your job, then be content. Be happy in that, even as you try to advance. But be content. Be happy. Don't wait until your ship comes in. Your ship might not come in, but you can be happy. And why? Because you have Jesus Christ, and that's all you really need at the end of the day. He preaches on, and he says, remember your leaders. And I'll say this, and he means people like me. And I'll say this, it's not just people like me. Whoever led you into the faith, remember those people. And if it is about me, remember that it's not about me. It's about me or whoever it is that brought you to the faith, who points you to Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. Because one day I will move on, or I will retire, and one day I will die. But as the preacher in the Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. All of your leaders in the religious realm have one job, and that is to point you to Jesus, where you'll find that commitment the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And finally, he says, offer a sacrifice of praise. Of course, they were in the sacrificial system there, right? They would kill animals and offer those to the Lord, and the Lord says, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want all that blood. I want your gratitude. I want your worship. And so that brings us here on Sunday morning, but not just on Sunday morning, but we have a heart that's full of gratitude for the love that's been shed in our lives and in our communities of faith, that we can be content and we can be happy. Amen. And let us continue to pray and pray with the psalmist and repeat after me as we meditate on this word. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Let's continue in prayer and share with one another our joys and our concerns. I did Rick West's funeral yesterday. Many of you know Rick and the West family, and so let's continue to remember them. Let's remember Barbara. Are there others?
Nancy was at Bible study Friday, and she's coming along, but she's got a lot of memory and still
asking. Okay, good. Let's remember Nancy. Awesome. I remember the 60. Yeah. Good. Okay. Others?
Keep my cousin Fred Larry in prayers.
All right. Let's remember Fred. Yes.
Tennyson General Baptist Church. They're going through a rough transition right now. Their pastor resigned.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And so they're, like I said, in transition, trying to find the pastor. So they'll keep them in prayer.
All right. Let's remember Tennyson General Baptist Church.
Okay. Continue prayers for Clint Kelly.
All right. Let's pray for Clint Kelly. Okay. Uh-huh.
Kevin Cook.
What's the last name?
Cook.
Kevin Cook and the family. Okay.
Kelly is undergoing tests this week to see what the progress of her cancer treatment is good. She needs prayers.
Okay, let's pray for Kelly. She's going to get an update on her cancer treatment and the progress that's being made there. Melody?
Bob Schaefer is the father of our health aide at school, Tracy Gurney, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and would just like prayer for discernment as to whether to do surgery or radiation.
Okay, did you say Schrader?
Schaefer.
Schaefer.
Bob Schaefer.
Pray for Bob. Others?
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a prayer for my nephew, Grant. He's just diagnosed with cancer. And a prayer for my mother-in-law, Jerry. She just had surgery for a quick recovery.
All right.
And a silent prayer for my son, Chad, and his family.
Chad. Okay. Greg, Jerry, and Chad. Okay.
Vicki Winkler. She's okay. Had cancer problems. They found out that it's spreading.
Okay.
And they're trying to get treatments out in Nashville.
All right. For Vicki?
Vicki Winkler.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. My dad was reading the paper about the two guys that were on a missionary.
Oh, yeah. The plane crash? Yeah.
Out west. We need to pray for their families.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to pray for all the people that could potentially be in a lot of trouble with the hurricane.
With the storm? Okay. All right. That includes my brother. He and his wife live in Melbourne, Florida. So, yeah.
Continue prayers for Pam.
Yes.
And Mike. And your girls.
Okay.
Prayer for my nephew's wife, Kelly.
Okay. For Kelly? All right, let's pray.